Hello, everyone. Today is Thursday, December the 29th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have a question for Dr. Shah or a suggestion for a future episode, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep this conversation in the airwaves by supporting this podcast, sharing it online, and just leaving us a good review on iTunes and Spotify. We're going to leave a link in the description so you guys can do that. You want to hit the verse of the day?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
The verse of the day today comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Wow.
God sent his son so that we could receive the adoption as sons. I feel like we lose that sometimes, just the miraculous adoption
right.
into God's family.
Right. I was going to say the same thing, the inclusion that not only am I saved, not only am I going to heaven, I get to spend time, but I'm a son. I've been adopted into the family of God, like treated as one of his own. That's something that we tend to forget.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we end up still living the slave life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just constantly, woe is me. I'm so down. I'm so burdened by my sin. I'm so all of this stuff, and I'm so down, and I'm so overwhelmed. And we're saved, but we're still living life like a slave.
Right.
Just barely scratching the surface of what God has in store for us.
And we were slaves
right.
to sin.
Right.
But if you're a Christian, you're not anymore.
Yeah, you've been redeemed, and you're to be living life as an heir now.
Right.
And it's not wrong to do that. It's not wrong to live in the fullness of what God has for you.
Right.
Right. All right, I got one for you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, I think.
You get $1 million, but anytime your kid, and you can pick the kid. It doesn't have to be. In fact, why don't you go ahead and pick a kid? Pick one of your kids. Just at random.
Evie.
All right.
She's my 8-year-old.
All right. Anytime Evie goes into a job interview for the rest of her life,
okay.
You have to tote her into the job interview. You can fireman carry her, or you can just like tote her in like on your hip. But I mean, even if she's like 30 years old, like you got to tote her in, she does the job interview, and then you got to tote her out.
Sure.
You didn't even hesitate.
I'll take that. I'm glad that I picked Evie for this, because I have no doubts that she is going to just completely reshape the world in her wake.
Mm-hmm.
That child is a force of nature. When she was like two, we nicknamed her Hurricane Evie.
Oh.
She is a force of nature in every aspect. So even being carried in, I still think she'd land the job. I'm confident enough in her ability to charm people that I don't think.
How old is she right now?
She's eight.
She's eight.
8 years old, third grade.
And you're saying as a 30 to 35-year-old interviewing for like a high-powered attorney's position at a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy toting her in, she would still nail the interview so well that she gets the job, says, thank you for this opportunity, shakes the partner's hand, and then gets toted out.
I think that not only would she get the job, but she would get a partner position right out of the gate, and they would instantly raise the starting salary.
Does she even need to work if Daddy has $1 million?
Yeah, because that's Daddy's $1 million.
I don't think so. I think that's theirs too.
Not if she's 30.
If Daddy's a millionaire, I don't think you need to work.
Yeah, but if it's only $1 million, I have five kids, that's going to go very quickly. Because if she's 30, that means the twins are 32. We're probably...
But you don't have to tote them into job interviews.
Right. But we're probably firmly into like, you know, the grandkid stage. If my oldest three are in their
30s. So they're the ones getting the $1 million. They're the ones getting the
money. And that's really what it is.
Okay. I personally would also do it. I would tote my son into job interviews. I don't think he would like it.
Yeah.
But I'm a millionaire, so this is what it's going to be.
Sure.
Like I have $1 million. I did this so I could get $1 million.
Yeah.
So neither one of us have to.
You think this is weird? Here's $100,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Neither one of us have to like it.
Right.
But I'm going to tote you into this interview, and I'm going to sit quietly in the corner. I'll probably give the boss stink eye if he asks you a question I don't like, and then I'm going to tote you out.
Yeah.
No problem.
No problem.
Just fireman carry him over your shoulder.
I think it'd be fine.
All right. Well, we're both $1 million richer.
Hooray.
I don't know who I talked to cash that, but we'll handle that after the show.
Yeah. If that's you, send us a text.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Oh, we're getting closer and closer to the new year. I know you guys don't need us to tell you that, but we want to make sure that we are setting you guys up for success as we go into the new year. There's lots of things that we're thinking about in terms of resolutions, lots of ways that we, you know, want to change in this upcoming year. But we're going to go get Dr. Shaw and talk about what that looks like practically and some steps for success as we head into 2023. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Hey there, listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a second and talk to you about Dr. Shaw and Nicole's new book, 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotionals to Help You Move Forward.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. You're going to have goals that you just can't seem to reach, and you're going to be looking for some new way to start over.
Unfortunately, life does not have a restart button, but here's the good news. God's mercy is new every day, right? And so that means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
Now, Dr. Shaw and his wife, Nicole, have written a new 30-day devotional in their 30-day series designed to give you practical tools for starting over. No matter where you are in life's journey or what pitfalls you've encountered, this devotional is going to help you move forward, refocus your mind on God's truth, and meditate on his word.
Mm-hmm. And you guys can pick up a copy right this second on Amazon.com.
Unless you're driving.
Yeah, don't shop and drive, unless you're driving, in which case, wait till you get home. But we're going to leave a link for you right here in the description of this podcast, so it'll be waiting for you when you get home. That's 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotionals to Help You Move Forward.
And for the remainder of November and all through December, we'll be sending a free copy to anyone who supports the podcast by visiting us online and donating to the show at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That is a very, very good incentive, gang. That's 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotions to Help You Move Forward by Abaddon and Nicole Shaw. Thank you guys so much for listening. David, you want to jump back into the show?
Let's go.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Dr. Shaw, welcome to the studio today. How are you doing?
I am doing very well, and 2022 is almost done. I'm ready for it to be done.
Closing forward in on 2023.
It's like the final, like, I'm hanging on.
Yeah.
Did he just say I'm ready to move forward?
Ready
well, then
move
do
forward.
I have something for you. It's called 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotions to Help You Do What, Ryan?
Move forward.
You heard the man say it. It is available on Amazon right now. Not Amazon, but Amazon right now.
Amazon.
Coming to Audible so soon, you can almost taste it. It is coming very soon. Pick your copy up right now, or today, or right now on Amazon. Where else is it? It just here in our resource center. Cool.
Yeah.
Very good devotional. I'm almost done. Almost done going through it.
Yeah. Very nice. I really thought you were going to be coming to Audible so soon you can almost hear it.
Oh, that would have been cute.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's Next take time. It again. Let's take it again.
That's okay. Just keep moving.
I got you.
Well, if you're joining us for the first time today, Dr. Shaw has a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. He's a professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. And you can follow Dr. Shaw on his website, abaddonshaw.com.
I dropped the ball.
You did.
I should have said it. I thought we were joking, and I thought you were going in. I forgot I hadn't.
I was looking at you. I was like.
Yeah, and I was looking at the computer. I was like, all right, Ryan, talk. My bad, y'all. My bad.
That's okay. I got a chance to say that line. I don't ever get that one.
I'm sleepy after lunch, man.
That's okay.
I need to wake up. Let me get my coffee real quick.
That's okay.
Oh, and that rice, Mexican rice.
Yeah. Oh, that beef sitting thick in my stomach.
Yeah.
Night.
Cheese.
Yeah. So you bail me out, though. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Why don't you, speaking of bailing you out, why don't you talk about how we can bail ourselves out of this year?
Oh, well, I'm gonna turn it over to Dr. Shaw, because Dr. Shaw, this is actually coming from a sermon you preached a long time ago, but I thought it was applicable because we are coming up on the end of the year. We're 2 days away, and there was something that you preached a while back where you said that, you know, the way that you approach this new year is really dependent on how you close this one out. How you finish matters.
Right.
That's always something that you've said, that how you finish really, it's important.
That's right. That's right. And back in 2012, which is really 10 years ago.
Wow.
10 years ago, an entire decade ago, I preached a message on how to close out 2012. Mm-hmm. And I used the example of Peter. and how Peter made mistakes and how he fell, and then how God restored him, how Jesus restored him. And I use that as a model of how you view your past, how you look back and try to see your past through the way God wants you to see it. Mm-hmm. And you're able to not only deal with that instead of carrying it over. So a lot of people are ready to move forward, but they carry their past with them and they struggle all the way into the next year. And then the next year they say the same thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to leave this behind. Well, it goes right with them into the next year.
Right.
So we talked about Peter's mistakes. And of course, we're referring to the night that Jesus was betrayed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's interesting because I kind of relate to Peter in that, because I'm looking back at 2022 and all the failures that I can count that happened to me in 2022 mostly happened, if not all happened, because I tried to take stuff into my own hands. I think we even just talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I tried to do things in my own power, like, Lord, I'm going to do this for you in my own strength. I'm going to do it with the talent that I have, that I've cultivated over the years, and it's never worked out.
And it's one thing to say, I mean, you know, we would all sit around the table and maybe you at home listening or in your car, wherever you're listening from, would say, yeah, you know, I believe that God's in control. I believe that his plan is best. But so many times we default to that. Let me just take this one back. Let me just make sure.
Right.
I know that you're God. Let me just make sure.
I'm going to hold on to this one.
Right. Let me just make sure I have my hands in this.
Right. Right. And it all began with, you know, Peter on the night of the crucifixion in John 13, you know, Jesus told them, in John 13, verse 33, that he won't be with them any much longer. Mm-hmm. You're going to seek me. And as I said to the Jewish leaders, the Jewish people, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, there are several things Jesus said to Peter, but also to the whole disciple, all the disciples, which is number one, where I am going, you cannot come. Hmm. Have you ever been in a conversation either with your wife or with somebody and you only pick up what you want to pick up?
Yes.
But you leave some very important things
every time, dude. Every
I've been in trouble for selective listening before.
Yeah, I have. Or like I interpret what she said or she interprets what I said, but in my head, they meant what I want them to mean.
Yeah.
They, what I wanted them to mean, that's what they meant.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he told them, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, here's what I want you to do while I'm going, and you cannot follow me. Mm-hmm. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know, and this is John 13, verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What is Peter's response?
Where are you going? Lord, where are you going? Wait, can we just circle back to this? Where are you going?
Yeah, wait.
Because I'm coming.
Did he tell you, like, where I'm going, you cannot come?
Yeah.
So leave that alone. Here's your commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you.
Yeah. Commandment. But where are you going?
Yeah, I hear the commandment, but let's go, because you said something kind of crazy, Lord. And I just want to make sure you ain't saying
I just want to revisit that.
Yeah, because you couldn't have said what I think you just said.
Yeah. But Jesus, as gracious as he is, you know, he goes on to say, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward.
Oh, no.
Now, that's enough to say, leave that topic alone, because that's not up for debate. Mm-hmm. Here's what I want you to focus, right?
Uh-huh.
Because coming after me is what you're going to try to do, but don't do it.
Yeah.
But his response, verse 37.
Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake.
Oh, Peter.
He's like, Lord.
Oh, poor Peter.
You're talking crazy, Lord. I'm coming.
I'm already on the way.
I got my bag. I got my little bindle, my little stick.
So Jesus finally has said, okay, this is why you don't need to come. And I think you are coming. So that's already been factored into this master plan through eternity. So you're going to lay down your life for me. Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. There.
The stone.
There.
The stone that must have sank into Peter's stomach hearing that. Or just like straight confusion. Like, what is this dude talking?
Yeah, I feel like Peter would have just been like, no, I'm not. What do you? Of course I won't.
Like this dude.
Of course I'm
this
not. Dude, that's ludicrous.
They've been through so much and he's seen and he knows that that's the Son of God. But he's like, you're lying. I'm not going to betray you.
Which
you're wrong, Lord.
I love what you said there, Dr. Shah, about like, you can't follow me, and here's why you can't follow me. And I know that you're already going to follow me because I've already factored that into, like, God factors in our stupidity.
Right.
Right.
That is such a comforting fact. Like, even the mistakes that I have yet to make, God has already accounted for those.
Yeah. Yeah.
That just, man, that is both troubling and comforting.
It almost reminds me of, like, when I used to, like, be with my dad and my dad was doing stuff and he's like letting me help. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, let me do it. He's like, hold on, let me do this one and then I'll let you do it. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Right.
Like, hey, you really should not be working this drill. You shouldn't be working with this electrical stuff. And I'm like, okay, instantly now I got to find out why.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, as the account goes on, the night of the crucifixion, you know, Peter started out by pulling out his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. It was a little pocket knife. I don't know what it was. And he goes to attack Malchus, who was this high priest servant, kind of a goofy looking dude, just hanging out, just like, you know, he's just there. Uh-huh. And has his ear chopped off.
I was going to say, I always imagine Malchus with big ears.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does.
Like a dopey kind of ears are sticking straight out.
Like ear boy from All That.
What just happened?
Yeah.
Well, you just lost your ears. And Jesus had to stop everything and fuss at Peter for a moment, mm-hmm. and tell him, you know, he lives by the sword, dies by the sword.
That's
Don't
right.
you think I could have done this? Don't you think I could have got angels to come and say, well, let me go heal this dude first. So now, thanks to you, Jesus has to, in his moment of, trial.
Yeah, he's supposed to be focusing on the cross, but now I got to go heal this guy.
Jesus's face is covered in blood from all the sweat drops of grief. But now we got to fix Peter's problem.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
And he does. He heals Malchus. And the reason the name is given, if you ever wonder why, just a little tidbit here, is more than likely Malchus got saved. Mm. And he was in the church. And names are mentioned to give them not only historical accuracy, but also, like, hey, if you want to know this account is true, go talk to this dude right here named Malchus.
That's a good point.
And look at his ears.
Yeah. he might have a little bump on his ear where Jesus healed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, of course, Peter did not obey Jesus. And after the disciples ran helter-skelter, like a preacher said, like rats leaving a sinking ship, they were jumping over little olive trees and these little knee-high walls all over Gethsemane.
Just booking
it. They're booking it.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I think...
Now I'm just picturing the disciples like parkour up like a half wall.
Yeah, like, they're like turning tricks and stuff. They're doing like spin moves in there. They're like, oh, check this. It's not impressive at all. I think it's crazy to know that, like, in that moment of passion, Peter thought he was being so spiritual and Peter thought he was doing the right thing. And he's like, I'm going to get so much credit for this.
Yeah.
Not realizing that emotion was about to, he was setting himself up for a huge failure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were talking about, made me think of one more named Mark. Mm. You know, Mark was also there. He was not a disciple. He was a young man. And he ran and his robe came off.
Yeah.
I mean, so imagine this night, the sense of humor.
Yeah.
One dude is like streaking through the Garden of
It's Gethsemane. Like, this is supposed
These
to
These were
be.
The guys. This was the band that was following Jesus around. His trusted friends were with him.
Yeah.
And now they just look like complete bozos.
Like a circus. It's like, this is the moment.
Like a circus.
It's like, this is the moment that history has literally been culminating in, and we are not starting off right.
We do not look good as a unit
like
now.
You know that creation was made for what's about to happen in just like a couple of hours.
Right.
Like, can we please give some grandiose to this moment? Dude is running away stark naked.
Some decorum, boys.
My ears.
some decorum, please.
Yeah, please. Some gravity.
Yeah.
And I know our listeners are probably going like, man, these guys are really being silly. I want us to understand, this may be how your 2022 looks like.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing things in your own strength, in your own power. When God told you to do this, you did the other.
Yeah.
And you look like either Malchus, like a... you know, a helpless collateral damage, or you look like a Mark running through naked.
Yeah, you don't want to look like either one of
them. No. Or Peter standing there with a bloody pocket knife.
Yeah,
you know, like, who knows?
What just happened?
He just got scolded. He's like, what?
I thought I did right.
I protected you,
Lord. He told us to sell everything and get swords.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant. It's an expression, Peter, that means tonight's the night that the entire creation has been waiting for. This will be the moment.
Yeah.
And you missed it.
Yeah.
But the point is this. Even though Peter messed up, and of course, as you know, how the rest of that night goes, he ends up denying his Savior, his Lord, three times. Mm. And then the rooster crows. And one of the Gospels, I believe it's Luke, that even says something about their eyes met. You know, Jesus saw and looked at Peter.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did at that moment. Was it eyes of like, told you so? I think it's more of eyes of compassion because he felt...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. This guy's pretty much done for the day.
Yeah. But I've always loved that little moment. And I think it's those little moments in the scripture where their eyes meet.
Yeah.
That those little moments hold so much weight and so much power. And I actually like that it doesn't go into it because not that it's open for interpretation, but it's open for you to relate in that moment. Like I know exactly how I'd feel in that moment of just meeting their eyes.
And not explaining it, I think it adds the weight to it.
Oh yeah.
Their eyes met. And I mean, you know. You understand what that
it doesn't
means.
Need to be said.
Right.
And Matthew 26:75 says, he went out and wept bitterly. Mm. Mm. Unlike Judas, who went out and got angry and mad at the priests and whoever gave him the money, Peter went out and he was just brokenhearted. It was like, oh, I messed up. I think a lot of sermons that are preached on how since he failed Jesus, he was crying. No, I think he was crying because he was told to do something and he did something else. He was told to love one another. Just be there when all the chaos begins. Just show comfort to your friends who have been following me because they may be tempted to get afraid. They may be tempted to go after Judas. They may be tempted to run back. Just love on them. Just be there and comfort them and say, hey, hang in there. Jesus told us this was going to happen. Hang in there. We're good. I'm here for you. You're here for me. We have to hold each other. That didn't happen that night.
Yeah.
They didn't do any of that. So here's a word to you guys. If you feel like you failed in 2022, failed as a father, failed as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a parent, as a child, as a family member, as a church member, as somebody in the community, you failed, just know Jesus understands.
That's right.
You know, failure is not something that Jesus was like, oh, I cannot believe they failed me.
Right.
It's like, I told them because it has to be done, but I knew what they were
going
to do.
That's right. Jesus was well aware that Peter was going to fail. I mean, he's the one that told him. And that has helped me a lot this year, knowing that yes, I failed in a lot of ways, and I failed in ways that let myself down, but I also have that assurance that God knows. He knew I was going to fail, and he was there with grace when I fell.
Right. And Jesus knew this.
Right.
Of course he did. I mean, he says that in Luke 22, verse 31 through 34, I believe it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you.
Wow. Oof.
That he may sift you as wheat. Mm. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So making mistakes does not mean your faith has failed. Making mistakes, choosing to do things in your own strength, in your own power, disobeying the Lord does not mean your faith has failed. It just means that temporarily, you did not do what God called you to do.
Mm-hmm. I think you just brought a lot of healing to a lot of people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because, and something else I love about that, Dr. Shah, is that I've prayed for you. Jesus could have easily said, hey, listen, by my power, he's not going to get to you. But he empowers Peter because he says, but I've prayed for you that your faith shouldn't fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your bread. Like he, it's not just, I'm going to protect you. It's I'm going to give you the power, not to protect yourself, but in my name, I'm going to make it so your strength, your faith doesn't fail.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to go through this trial. Mm-hmm. You're going to deny me and see the wretchedness of your heart. For one, of course, disobeying me, I told you don't come after me because this is not your fight. Only I can take that cross. I mean, imagine what Peter was trying to do.
Yeah.
He was trying to become the other substitutionary atonement for us, you know? I mean, it's like, you can't do that.
Oh, man, I never thought of that.
You know?
Never thought of that.
Wow. That you can't do that. It's only one person who's supposed to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Peter's like, oh, lambs?
Yeah.
No.
A herd?
A herd slain.
I'm actually kind of mind blown. Like, Peter was kind of, he was trying to elevate himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll go out there and I'll join in and we'll together conquer them. What, like, don't be crucified? Peter, it's not possible. Oh, we're going to be crucified together? We're going to together become the martyrs?
Yeah.
Either way, Peter, you can't do that. Wow. There's only one.
Wow.
And that's me. So, you know, Jesus knew this was going to happen. And so he allowed him to go through it, saw his wretchedness of disobedience, but also saw what life is like lived in your own strength and in your own power. You've been learning that, right, David, in the book, Saving Life of Christ?
Yeah, like I've said, I think it was last episode or it was this week, superb book about living life, the Christian life in God's strength and not in your own strength and how is Christ in you. And they gave an analogy that was really good about you can't put a glove on a table and tell it to open a Bible.
Right.
You have to put your hand in the glove, and we are supposed to be like that glove. We can't live this life on our own. We have to have Christ filling us, giving us the strength to do that. Right. And that, I think that applies especially here, because Peter wanted to do all these things, but it wasn't in Christ's strength.
It was in his own strength, in his own determination. So if in 2022 you did that, just know others have gone before you and fallen mm-hmm. down that same path. But you know, Jesus had promised him, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Right.
And of course, did Peter return? Not quite. Jesus had to go after him.
Yeah.
And on the Sea of Galilee, he came. And if you remember that account where Peter said, I'm going fishing, and the rest of the herd followed after him, and they all were fishing, caught nothing. Jesus stands by the seashores and says, children, have you caught anything? And they don't know who he is. And he said, cast it on the other side. And reluctantly they do, and they catch a massive catch of fish. Even the number is given of how many fish are caught. And then they come back to shore, and Jesus not only cooks the fish that he had, but he also takes the fish that they had caught. It's all about salvation. It's all about gospel and evangelism. Mm-hmm. And then he sits down with Peter, and three times he asks the question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lamb.
Yeah.
So, you know, no matter how you failed, or no matter how much you feel like a failure, or no matter how people made you feel like a failure, whatever it is, moving forward in 2023, let God, just like David said, be that life inside that glove, that from here on, you're going to let him live through you rather than you trying to live for Jesus. Mm. Because that is the normal Christian life, him living through me.
Right.
You know, Paul talks about that, you know, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Wow.
So that's the word for 2023.
Amen. What a beautiful way to end the
year. What a word it is.
Man, I hope that blessed you guys as much as it blessed us here in the studio. If you enjoyed today's topic or you have suggestions for future topics, let us know by sending us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can support us financially on that same website. We are grateful for the gifts that we have received and our giving partners. We view this as a team, as an effort of teamwork, as a partnership, and together, partnered with you, we will reach the nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. I have a question here that got texted in from Robbie W. Dr. Shaw, what was the last movie you saw in theaters?
Oh, last movie I saw in theaters was I Heard the Bells.
Oh.
It's done by Sound and Sight Films.
Oh, yeah.
It's up in Pennsylvania, you know, the Sound and Sight. Okay. Or Sight and Sound. Sight and Sound. Mm-hmm. it's on the life of H.W. Longfellow, American poet, one of my favorite poets in the world, who said,
I heard the bells.
No, and also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he also made that statement on, you know, the heights reached and kept by great men was not done, as a sudden flight. But they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards into the night.
That's right.
My favorite poet, one of my favorite poets, and a Christian man, and was very instrumental in the Civil War.
Very cool.
Wow.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, we love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.